You're listening to the How to Make Money Podcasting Podcast. I'm your host and explorer, Jace Kraft, and I invite you to join me while I explore behind the scenes of a podcaster monetizing their podcast and learn how you can too. Whether you haven't made a dollar from your podcast or you're making thousands of dollars, this episode you are listening to right now will help you explore what's possible for your podcast. Hey everybody, sitting here with Brandy Varnado, and from the podcast, Brandy Was Here, and she is going to tell us the story of how she's been making money through sponsors, through Patreon, and through courses. Brandy, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So before we get into kind of how you've been monetizing your podcast and your business, let's get into like what your podcast is about, who it's for, and why'd you get started?
Yeah. So my podcast is all about a journey, and I am taking my listeners on the journey of how I became successful and how I became who I am. But I'm also bringing along people that I know as well. So my podcast is for anyone who is really looking for guidance in life, learning from the wisdom of other people on how they can start to live their best life in real life.
Awesome. And so it sounds like it's kind of a mix between a solo show and an interview show. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What's kind of the breakdown? Is it every other or?
Yeah. So every other episode is a solo episode where I give more targeted and guided tips for folks. And then I do a mashup interview. So I interview two folks separately, and then I kind of mash up that interview together on the same or similar topic.
Oh, cool. Cool. And when did you get started?
I started my podcast last July. Okay. In tribute to my stepfather. I launched it on his birthday, which was really, really exciting for me. So I've been doing podcasting for just under a year.
Sweet. And it's a weekly show?
It is a weekly show. Yes.
Awesome. What was like your motivation to start a podcast?
You know, I have wanted to start a podcast probably for several different years, right? But then there's that whole thing about imposter syndrome, like everyone's doing a podcast. Why would anyone listen to me? But I really like interviewing folks. You know, in a previous career, I was a freelance writer. And so I would interview a lot of musicians, and I really missed that. That coupled with the fact that I am kind of like the go-to person amongst my friends in terms of advice. And so my friends would always say, like, you give really good advice. You should write a book. You should start a blog, you should do something. And so I thought my something would be podcasting.
For sure. Did you, right away, did you find that that was true? Like you, first episode and you're like, this is awesome. And, or.
No. First episode, I was like, oh my gosh, what did I just get myself? This is a lot. Right. It's a lot, because there's one thing, like there's the aspect of like, hey, I really like interviewing people, but when you're podcasting, right, there's also the aspect of the logistics and the back end. I'm like, okay, now I have to like send calendar invites. I have to edit this thing once it's over. I got to promote it. I have to upload everything. And so there's all of that too. So first episode did not go well. I actually had to record the first episode 3 times to get it right, as I was learning like how to use the equipment and also just like trying to do this in a virtual space as well, figuring, you know, making sure on their end that, you know, their mic is sounding good and everything was right. So,
the first episode, was that an interview that you had to do 3 times?
First episode was an interview. So funny story. First episode, I thought, you know, this is introducing people to me. So I'll introduce my mom. This will be super easy, right? My mom and I, we talk a lot. And my mom, I'm trying to get her on Zoom. Obviously, if you have an older parent, you know, like the struggle, right? So this is last July, so start of COVID, not everyone was hip to Zoom, my mom especially not. So there was a struggle of like getting her to download Zoom and how to upload and getting her camera to work. And so when we started talking, I started interviewing her, I never hit record. So we just talked for all this time. And I'm like, okay, I'm checking my email, waiting on Zoom to say like, your cloud recording is ready. And there was nothing. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, now I have to do this all over again. so that was interesting. It was fun.
Okay. Has that ever happened again later down the road? You forget hit record, or is that a one-time thing and then you have
it
on?
It has definitely happened again, but not once the interview's been over. But then like 10 minutes in, like, hey, let's go back really quick.
Yeah. Yeah, I have my Zoom settings now to automatic record once.
I now have that, right? Because I didn't know that I could do that, but now I do that.
Yeah. So then I just cut out, like, you know, the rustling papers in the beginning and that kind of stuff. So I don't forget that, because I've done that as well.
Definitely.
That's an awkward conversation. Be like, hey, so that didn't actually work. We just had a conversation.
It never happened. It wasn't recorded. It never happened.
Yeah. Cool. So as far as like your expectations of, well, first of all, did you have a business outside of podcasting before July 2020?
Yes.
Okay. And then
go ahead.
And the podcast was then to kind of supplement that, or is it something that's completely different?
Yeah. So I know a lot of people do podcasting for a lot of different reasons, but I know that for me, if it was just going to be a hobby, I definitely wouldn't be as consistent with it. Mm-hmm. And so because I currently have a full-time job, and then I have a business on the side. And so I thought, you know, podcasting would be a great way for me to sort of leverage that side business and potentially mm-hmm. turn it into a full-time thing. And so I want my podcast to reflect the work that I'm doing in my coaching practice, right? And so I started to think about, you know, what are things that I am really proud of in my coaching business that I can share with people? What are the tips and the tools that have been successful for people that I want to share? And who are the people that I think can speak to those areas? Okay. And then getting people to sign on and say, hey, I know I have zero experience in doing this and I'm just starting, but would you like to be on my podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So then the coaching business, that's kind of like just general life coaching, or is there something specific?
Accountability there? Coaching. So I work with people who are struggling to follow through on the goals that they set. And I sort of step in and help them keep the promises they made to themselves, which sort of involves life coaching. It gets deep. You realize the blocks that people have are more than just, you know, hitting snooze on the alarm.
It's everything. A lot deeper than that. I feel like in coaching, everything kind of leads back to life coaching, even in like sport and athletics. Like,
absolutely. You're
like, okay, what's going on in your life? Okay. So but being an accountability coach, I would imagine that puts a whole nother level of pressure on you when you say, hey, I'm going to do this podcast. Now I have to follow through with it.
Right. And I have to be accountable.
So I see that you have seasons on your podcast. Do you plan out like a certain amount of episodes and then take a break, or what was your kind of reasoning for doing seasons?
Yeah. So season one, just 10 episodes. I wanted to get a sense of, one, would people listen to this? Would it be sort of worth my while? I tried to build the season sort of around a theme. I batch record. And that's pretty much because of how I match up the interviews. I batch record. So I need to know, like, okay, I'm looking for a person who has experience in this, or someone who's done that. And that person would match well with this person. So first season, I did 10 episodes, took about a 3 to 4 week break. Came back with season two. Season two is 20 episodes. And so I think the 20 episode season is what I'm going to stick with. It seems to be working really well. So yeah, I planned that out. I think, you know, in doing interviews, because I had done it before, I recognized that it would require some research. And so I plan out a lot of, you know, researching the person I'm interviewing to make sure they match up well with another person that I'm going to match them up with, but also just interviewing that topic to make sure I really have strong points to deliver to my audience.
For sure. So going into season one, then I assume you'd have some sort of expectation, even if you're like, I'm opening the door to see what happens. You probably had like, okay, I expect this many people to listen or whatever. Were you know, overwhelmed or underwhelmed by your expectations to what actually happened?
I think I really was realistic in my expectations, right? Mm. So there are, you know, a ton of celebrities that launch podcasts. They have a million downloads after the first couple episodes, right? But I recognize that, you know, based on my coaching business, based on sort of my social media following, I sort of anticipated I would have a certain amount of listeners. I would, I know, like, you know, who would sort of tune in and follow. And the other thing is, prior to starting my podcast, I did a lot of sort of polling of my audience, right? So, hey, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. What do you think my podcast would be about? Who do you think should be on my podcast? That sort of thing on my social media. I'm gonna have a pretty engaged social media following.
Is there a specific channel that you use the most?
I use Instagram the most.
And what kind of following do you have there as far as?
Yeah, so I just wanna say too that a lot of times when people are starting podcasts, you think like, oh, I don't have enough followers to start a podcast. I have just under 3,000 followers, but my followers are really engaged, right? Yeah, when I go live, they are there. When I post something new, they like and share. When when I was starting this podcast, they were very supportive and helpful about getting the word out. And I really attribute that and my followers for, you know, helping me reach this milestone of success in my podcast, because, you know, they feel a part of the journey because I started the journey with them. And so I, you know, when I first started my podcast, I was kind of blown away. You know, my first episode got like 500 downloads kind of like within the first couple of weeks. And I was like, oh my gosh, people are listening to this and they're listening to all my mistakes and the bad editing and the poor audio quality. My gosh, I have to be better. But you know, it has gotten better. And I would say, you know, I'm averaging about that per episode and has been really consistent. And I think for me, consistency is more important, right? Like if I only had 20 downloads, but I have 20 downloads every week, I'm like, okay, this audience can grow. But if people are kind of, you know, people listen to one episode and then I get 5 downloads on the next episode, I would be really, really concerned about like, hey, what do I need to be doing differently? For sure. Or maybe the content is a mismatch, or, you know, I'm not reaching the right audience.
The 500 downloads, is that like over a 30-day period now, or 7-day, or?
Yeah. So it's probably within like a 7-day period now. I would say prior, it would be like my first season, definitely like within 30 days, right? I would say like, okay, there's like 500 people, but now it's probably more consistent weekly.
Okay, cool. And are you seeing people going back to season one and listening to all that still as you're releasing? I see, I think you're about halfway through season two.
Yes.
It looks like.
Yeah, so people definitely go back, which is just, I mean, I'm cringing right now just thinking about it. That first episode, my gosh, you know, people always go back to the first episode. Mm-hmm. And I think one thing that I did too, so my season one, I did like an intro episode, and then I did an episode one, right? So there's like episode zero and then an episode one. And people always go back to that because those first couple episodes, they really get a sense of you, your voice, what your podcast is going to be about.
Yeah.
So yeah, so even people, you know, people who are just finding me on this week's episode, they'll still go back to episode one and kind of listen to that.
Yeah, I find that especially in interview shows, I'll go back to episode zero to learn more about the host, because sometimes you don't get to know the host like as much.
Get going. Yeah.
You're like, oh, I like the way this flows, but I don't know anything about
who
the host.
Is this person?
Cool. So you're getting 500 downloads, you know, per episode over a 30-day period, kind of right away, now over a week. When was it that you started to monetize your podcast? When did that first dollar come in that you can say, yep, that was from the podcast?
Yeah. So interestingly enough, I started monetizing my podcast before I actually launched my podcast. So I launched my Patreon last June.
Okay.
So probably, you know, April, May, I was, you know, polling my social media following, asking about different aspects. I sent this very wild and crazy text message to people in my contacts really late at night, like, hey, I'm starting this podcast, really love you to be on it. And then like turned my phone off and went to sleep. And then, you know, I started this Patreon. And as I was telling people about the podcast, you know, people are like, you know, how are you going to fund the podcast? I heard, you know, the equipment's expensive, or are you sponsored? And I'm like, nope, I have a Patreon. You can go to my Patreon and sign up. Mm-hmm. And so prior to starting my podcast, I had 25 patrons sign up. And at that point, I only had one tier. I think it was like $10 or something.
$10 a month?
$10 a month for Patreon. I had 25 people sign up, said, hey, we would love to support you. You know, and I did a bunch of like previews. So like the behind the scenes stuff, like this is me trying to set up my equipment. This is like my studio, right? Or whatever. Yeah. And I did like a bunch of that. And I did sort of weekly, like, hey, you know, my first episode, I'm going to interview my mom and let me tell you why. And this is how I came up with the name. And I did a lot of those little videos. And so my Patreon following hasn't been as consistent, but I definitely started monetizing prior to launching. And then once I launched, of course, my patrons started to share the podcast episode and started to bring people in. And then I started to get a sense of what my Patreons were looking for, right? In terms of they're supporting me, but what do they want in return? I started to build out different levels of tiers there. And so, actually through, go ahead.
I was going to say, so what does your Patreon look like now? I mean, prior it was one tier, $10 a month, 25 people. You know, now you're starting to build out different levels. What does that look like?
Yeah, I'm actually going to sort of revamp my Patreon pretty soon here. But right now I have 5 different tiers and my tiers go from $5 to $100. And I have just under 50. I want to say I have 48 patrons currently. And they've been pretty consistent, right? That 25 that I started with has been there since I started and they haven't really gone anywhere. They've gone up a tier or down a tier or what have you, or they've brought in more people to my Patreon. So Patreon is a really great way to start. I think, you know, a lot of my content ideas, I really test out with them because it's one thing for folks to have, you know, a social media following, right? But if your social media following is not engaged and they're not giving you feedback, in the podcasting world, it's a little different, right? Because, you know, people are listening, but you don't get to talk directly to those folks. So you have to have a core group of people who can give you feedback and say, you know, this episode was really great, or this was a miss, or we want more of that, or less of that, or hey, you did this really weird change and we don't like it, or what have you.
So what kind of like offerings are you giving your Patreon for, say, a $5 a month commitment versus $100?
Yeah. So like a $5 commitment is general support. I do a monthly patron only newsletter where I'm sort of talking about, you know, a little bit of the behind the scenes, like, you know, this month in podcasting, right? That's where they get all those fun stories about, I forgot to hit record. And, you know, I try this through smoothie, or this is what's happening sort of in my life, or these are events that are coming up. So they get that at the $5 range. I would say I have the most patron support sort of at the mid-level, which is like the $15 and $25 range. And so I also offer a book club because my listeners know that I love to read. And so they can come and read with me. And we meet twice a month in the book club. That's if they're on the $25 tier, then we do a monthly sort of meetup. And that changes sort of every other month. I'll do just like a Q&A with me where they, you know, hop on a Zoom with folks. And they can come and talk to me and ask me questions about the podcast. They can ask me questions about my life. I do get a lot of questions. I'm sneaking in some accountability coaching in those calls as well. And then the opposite month, we watch a movie, right? So I'll pick a random movie and we go on Amazon Prime. And I, you know, Amazon Prime has that watch share link now. And we'll watch something and we'll kind of talk about it in the chat. And that's it. At the $100 tier, they get more sort of one-on-one with me. That's when they can get a course of mine. And so my course, I do, you know, a detox my life course where it's helping folks get rid of all the baggage that they bring into their lives so that they can start moving forward on their journey. I've done a course just about self-esteem. I've done another course about, you know, how to launch from where you are, whether they're launching a business or, you know, they're starting fresh in their life. So in that I offer a different course every month at that $100 level.
Okay. Wow. And then those courses, I assume you'd sell a la carte or something to people outside. And it sounds like you've been doing that through your podcast as well and making some sales through there. When did you start making money through selling courses through your podcast? How long into that were you?
Yeah. So I would say about halfway through season one, you know, I also listen to a lot of podcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, everyone has like these ads or these like sponsored posts or things like that. I was like, I don't have anything. Like, I need to find a sponsor. And I was like, wait, I could be advertising my own courses because, and you know, if I'm doing an interview episode, as you said, it's really about that person that I'm interviewing. And so if someone just goes and listens to that episode, they don't really have a sense of who I am and what I do. So I can be dropping those gems in as I'm interviewing. And so I started sort of recording my own ads, which it felt so uncomfortable and very cheesy and like, like, you know, every negative thought you have about self-promotion. I'm like, hey, check me out. You know? Yeah. but I did that again, halfway through season one, I want to say it's episode 5. And I started seeing more sales for my courses. And I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. And so I try to align my offerings with what the topic is about, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm talking to someone, I recently had an episode about how to have a strong money mindset, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm like, hey, here's my course on mindset and the, you know, 5 ways that you can shift your mindset. Yeah. Right. And sometimes those ads are like a free download that I have that people can just go grab. Mm-hmm. So I'm building my list in that way. Yeah. Right. Because again, people are listening. You want to capture these people that are listening. And then sometimes it's that pay course. Sometimes I might be featured on an event or speaking at a Zoom conference or something. Mm-hmm. And I drop that in. So there's all sorts of ways that I'm sort of helping my listeners on this journey of saying, hey, here are some resources that you can either tap into or not, or you can just continue to listen to the podcast, but here's what I'm offering.
Yeah, for sure. How big's your email list?
Yeah, so my email list, the last time I checked, which is probably a month ago, I have over 1,200 folks on my email list.
And how often do you email them in regards to the podcast versus like just your business?
Yeah. So I email them once a month about the podcast and then once a month about something business related.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm finding that on my email list, people like recaps more than they like announcements ahead of time. Right.
Oh,
so
sure.
That's something too. So I don't email and say, hey, there's a new podcast launching on Tuesday. I'll email on Friday and say, hey, did you check out, you know, my latest interview with such and such? And I'll include like an audiogram or a quote or something like that to capture their attention. Sure. Like, hey, look what you're missing. And then people start clicking.
So you can stick an audiogram in an email, sounds like. What email provider service provider
do
you? Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
And MailChimp, I know them. You can start for free if you're listening.
You can start for free.
Yes. So it's not intimidating if you're on a budget. You know, I do encourage you to start an email list and utilize it with that. So then the last part, we said you have some sponsors now.
Yeah.
Did they reach out to you or did you actively seek them out?
So they reached out to me. So I have two major sponsors. One I reached out to and one reached out to me. And that sort of came about. So one of the things that I did, and I didn't intend to carry this into season two, but season one, I created gift boxes for my guests. And so I just, you know, put a bunch of my favorite things in it to say, hey, thanks for being on my podcast. Hope you enjoy, you know, and there were like some promotional items. So I had like stickers and I made this really, again, cheesy promotional t-shirt with my face on it. It's like, hey, this is the Brandy Was Here podcast and here's your thing.
Brandy Was Here.
And so, you know, my guests, they start sharing on social media and then my listeners were like, hey, where can we get this box? And so I did a giveaway. I made a couple extra boxes and I did a giveaway. And when I took my season break, that's all people could talk about. Like, when's the next box? What's in it? Is this a monthly thing? Is this a subscription box? How can I get it? And I had, through that, people were like, you know, there were businesses that, how can I be a part of your box? And I want to be, you know, with my audience, I'm really authentic, completely transparent. And I'm like, I don't know if I want sponsors because I don't just want to promote things just because people are paying me or giving it to me. Like, I want to really just have, you know, the purpose of the box, it's like my curated box of things. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, you know, someone reached out to me. I said, okay, send me one and I'll try it. And if I like it, you know, we can talk. And, you know, they sent me some clothing. I said, you know, this is really cool. I like the message behind this. You know, let's put it in the box. And so I got a sponsor that way. And then as I was, again, season two, this theme of season two is really all about self-care and how people can be doing a better job of self-care and their journey towards self-care. Mm-hmm. And so I started, you know, I looked in my bedroom and my bathroom, like, what are the things that I use for self-care? Would these folks be interested in contributing to the box? And so that's how I got my second sponsor, People of Color Beauty, which is nail polish I'm wearing, which,
that's,
you know,
really cool.
Painting my, during COVID, I realized that painting my nails really is therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Especially because you can't go out and get your nails done. So I was like, hey, you know, I don't know if you would be open to this, but here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I do. I sent them like a clip of the podcast. Take a listen. Let's set up a call. And she was totally into it. And so I think for me right now, having those two sponsors seems really manageable, sort of where I am in my podcasting journey. I know people want to start out and, you know, they want to write these sponsorship decks and kits where they're asking for a whole lot of money. I think for me, it's more about the relationship and the partnership. Mm-hmm. Both of these sponsors have been really great. Again, supporting the podcast.
Monetizing that, are they just giving you product to share with your audience, or are they adding, you know, kind of some dollars on top of that for you?
Both. So the part of it is they're giving product to the box, and then they're supporting the podcast through making a designated payment.
Okay. Are you allowed to say how much that is, or?
Yeah. So I started really small. So it's $1,000. Right?
For a month or for a season?
For a month.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I have expanded that in different ways, because part of the relationship building is really getting to know that sponsor or your contact at that company and say, like, you know, what are your goals? What are your expectations? Yeah. Right? Because I want to be transparent. I don't want to say, I get 10,000 downloads. No, like this is where I am in my podcasting journey. And so I'm saying, hey, like, this is what a season would look like. And this is, you know, what I will do, how many times I will promote, really being realistic. Because again, you know, my podcast is really about helping people on their journey. I don't want them to come to my podcast and feel like, you know, every 30 seconds there's an ad and now they're not listening because they're not getting that. And so, you know, I had a conversation. I'm like, this is what I think is realistic. Here's what that would look like. And they said, you know, okay, let's do it.
That's really cool. And I love that you have the boxes. Are you sending those like as part of a Patreon then too? Or like are people, how do you choose who to send that to, I guess?
Yeah. Anytime I do something, I think about, you know, what are my goals? What do I want out of this? Right. And not that that's selfish or like shady in a way, but like, you know, this is becoming a business. I have to think about those things. Yeah. So, you know, people want a box and I could easily say, hey, I'm selling a box, you know, go and buy. But I really want people to, you know, listen to the podcast and become immersed in the podcast and share the podcast with people. And so what I do is I do a code word giveaway. So they have to listen to the podcast. I say a code word. They share a post, or when I started, they would reshare a post, type the code word, and then I would do like a raffle. I subscribed to this text messaging service community. I don't know if you heard of it. So now I have people text me the code word. And so they text, and then I'll go on, you know, every Saturday I'll go live. I'll, you know, type all their names into a spreadsheet. It's like this wheel that I put their names in. Yeah. And then I say, hey, you've got your box. DM me your address. It'll ship out on Monday. And then they get the box that way.
That's awesome. Do you reveal it then on the live too?
Like, I do.
This is everything in the box. Yeah, like you're going to want to listen to the podcast. Yes. Give me your code words. So that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Awesome. Well, we're out of time here, but what a great conversation about three different ways you can monetize your podcast. Some great ideas here from Brandy. If somebody wants to learn more about you, your podcast, where should they go?
Yes, they can go to brandywashere.com. That's Brandy with the Y. Or follow me on Instagram at brandywashere_.
Awesome. And I'll have links to that in the show notes and everything there. So you can, if you're, you know, driving or whatever, you can go back and find all that information. So thanks so much, Brandy, for being on the show.
Yes, thanks so much for having me. This is really fun.
Do you want your audio quality to stand out from the crowd? The secret sauce comes down to the mastering process. Mastering your audio can make your podcast stand out and be easy on the ears, but it can also be oftentimes confusing and time-consuming. But it doesn't have to be. I use a tool called Remaster Media to make the mastering process quick and easy. And you can hear the difference. So right now I am talking without any mastering to my track. But here is what I sound with the remastered plugin. Again, without remastering right now, they have multiple profiles to choose from. So no matter the voice or music mix, you can find something that makes you proud of your audio. Now again, I'm back on Remastered. So I encourage you to check them out and see the difference between how you sound with or without them. They have a plugin for your current editing software or a web application for those who want to try before they buy.